GNC568. It's Tuesday, April 20th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, kind of a crazy, shaky start tonight. We are on a recording on a backup device, so I have no idea how the audio is going to sound. I guess we'll find out, but the best part is, you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. I am simply batting 1,000 tonight. I didn't have one of the cords plugged in to patch in the audio. Jeez. And, you know, with everything going on with the recording machine, which is not recording, so we are going to the handy recorder, the H4N, the Zoom. Oh, man, what a night. Well, anyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome, if you're a new listener to the show, this is a very unusual start. So for the first time in 568 shows, my primary machine, which is supposed to record the audio, is two thumbs down. So I can laugh now, but I was cussing this thing out about 10 minutes ago. The show was not child safe prior to me getting ready to go. So anyway, welcome to the show. And of course, if you're part of the Ohana, welcome to the podcast. I want to thank you guys for coming out and staying subscribed. We want to welcome listeners, of course, from 163 countries worldwide. And hey, you know what the best thing to do is get subscribed to our newsletter. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And really, the show notes contain everything in there that I'm going to talk about tonight. And it's going to include listener emails where they've sent me to links on different sites. Basically, information on where you can send a self-stamped addressed envelope to me to get some swag sent back to you, all kinds of stuff, and of course chances to win cool prizes as well. So get signed up for that newsletter and subscribe to the show. You'll find that via the second column, or actually in the middle of the website. You'll find blog, podcast, video. There's an RSS link there along with iTunes, Zune, and so forth. And get subscribed to the show so you get the show delivered automatically to your portable media device. I want to, of course, I want to congratulate Jeff. He's our winner on our Ring Central giveaway. And so we'll be getting Jeff and his new business hooked up with this Ring Central account. Congratulations to him. And on the next show, we're going to be giving away that Roku. So if you are wanting the Roku, if you want to have this set-top box where you can watch Geek News Central on a big screen TV or even a smaller screen TV, hey, definitely get an email into me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, with the subject line Roku, and we'll get you set up. We'll get you set up with in the contest to win the Roku. I'll draw that on Thursday's show, and we'll give that away. So, matter of fact, I've got it sitting in a box right over here. Hang on. For those of you that are up on Ustream, you can see I've got it all ready to send out. So all you got to do is send your email in, about $100 value, and it's part of our basically giveaway for, you know what's going on here is I've got a camera that is slid. There we go. That's better. It's part of our giveaway and our announcement of being on not only the Roku device, but being on the Boxy software as well. So if you have the Boxy loaded, you can find the Tech Podcast app. If you have a Roku device, you can find us in the Blueberry channel. And talk to Angelo today, and we're going to be submitting some more channels tomorrow to the Roku folks to get them in process and get all our verticals in there. So we're excited about that, and hopefully within a week or so we'll have the actual Tech Podcast channel up on Roku. As I talked about in the last show, getting ready to wait for the information to come back from the folks at Ford. Going to be going out to Ford second week of May, I guess, May 19th or something like that. Going to be out and visiting their plant in Dearborn. So excited to go out there and see what they've got cooking. And so I think I'll probably be the person that's coming from the farthest distance away. I know that they're bringing out some other folks as well. And so we'll see what happens there. And hopefully have a longer relationship here with Ford. And with any luck, we might be nice to bring Ford on as an advertiser to all of our shows over at Raw Voice. So hopefully that we can make that happen, but we'll see. Let me look at my little list here of stuff I've got for you. Hey, we're going to be giving away a Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 in the coming weeks. And I'm going to be doing a write-up on that as well at geeknewscentral.com. So definitely check that out if you would, and or just watch for that article. And then we'll give that away in a future show. This thing comes with two monitors, so it's a small business machine, and you'll get two monitors and the computer and Windows 7 and all the software that goes along with it. So a brand new machine from Lenovo. All right, the Geek News Central Insider did not go out on Sunday. Basically, I've been away so much. My honey had me a long list of honey-do items. And really, the only thing I was able to knock out was a short berry cast for the folks over there at Blueberry. So I still owe you guys that are content or basically contributing to the show for my salary replacement plan. Those of you that are, you'll be getting a Geek News Central Insider sometime this week. We'll get that out to you. And I'll have information that I don't cover here in the show. And that will go to everyone that contributes on a monthly basis to the show. Check out the free magazine offers, of course, over at Geek News Central as well. If you have a Wi-Fi device in your house, make sure you set it up so that the SSID tag is geeknewscentral.com. That way you'll get your neighbors involved in the show as well. And we're still looking for some folks if you want to create some stuff for the show and take charge of that creative and you want to put it up in an online store. Send me a link to it. We'll talk about it during the podcast. We'll let people go over and buy some swag, and any proceeds that you earn from that, just, you know, cut me a percentage of whatever you think is fair. We'd love to have you do that. Stickers and swag, got a whole bunch of stuff ready to go. So that will go out in the mail to those that have sent in envelopes. So I'll have that ready for you. I'm kind of at a disadvantage tonight because I don't have my normal timer over here in the corner. But for those of you on Ustream, I was trying to get the camera set up so that I could show you where I moved the camera to. You guys see this new view that's over here? I actually put the camera back over in this corner, and I'm pretty excited about that. And I really didn't like where it was before. And what do you guys think of my new signs? Oh, we're on the air and recording. You guys knew that, right? So you guys can see it a little better right behind me on this view. So just trying to kind of tweak the studio a little bit on Sunday to make things, ever since the big move, really the final cleanup never happened. So I was working to work on that final cleanup and get things picked up. Hey, if you are on Ustream Live right now, Twitter that we're live. I had not done that. And I'm going to see if I can do that right now. Join us. We're live. And I'll send that out and see if we can get some additional folks in here. Let me look at my list here of things that I needed to go through. Okay, got that done. My timing is really off because when you end up having a technical meltdown, you never get stuff quite right. Hey, I want you guys to pay attention over on Andy McCaskey's website at sdrnews.com. Andy's going to be putting up a bunch of videos from the NAB show. Andy was there doing coverage for me. And so he'll have a bunch of content up there underneath the SDR brand. I'll have repeats of that content on Geek News Central as well as soon as he starts pumping out those videos. But keep an eye on that. We'll have it over here on the website at Geek News Central too. Got a great lineup of content tonight for you. Let's take care of a couple of bills before we get into the meat of the content. You know, GoDaddy, longtime sponsor here at the show, and 250-some domains I have with them now. I actually did a count and was actually looking at the ones, some ones that I might be thinking about selling through their domain auction service. It's one of the added value services they have over there at GoDaddy. And also shopping for some new domains as well, because I've got a couple things in mind that I want to do with Raw Voice in regards to some new domain names. So I was shopping around and actually found a pretty cool domain, $10 on their domain auction service. Now, while you can't use my promo codes in their auction service, sometimes it is a great way to find a domain that hasn't been picked up or is not available that you may be looking for. And they've got ways now you can actually download a full spreadsheet. I downloaded 40,000 domains that were in the sequence that I was really looking for. So then all I really did was refine the search in the spreadsheet. And man, boom, 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 I found two or three, went into a couple of them the guys wanted some ridiculous amount of money for. But one of them was a buy me now at $10, picked it up, and it'll be mine in about 14 days when the transaction completes. But you know, if you're looking for domain names, either through their auction system or their online system, or you're looking for a hosting service, you know, we just heard, I'll be talking about a little later in our show about how Network Solutions was, which of course is not at all related to GoDaddy, but they had been hacked and a number of their sites had really been impacted negatively. So, you know, that's one thing I so far from everything, I've never heard, knock on wood, you know, there's always a chance something could happen, but GoDaddy's got great security, and so their hosting accounts are terrific. So check them out if you're looking for a virtual dedicated server, a dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be. When you go over to GoDaddy, make sure you pick up one of their products, and you get to that checkout counter, you can save yourself a lot of money by using one of my promo codes. And I was actually going to bring some of those up for you here, and of course, Todd, T-O-D-D, will save you 10% on non-domain orders. And you can find those, of course, those products and services there at GoDaddy. Geek5 will save you 15% on any order $20 or more. Aloha will save you $20 off any order of $75 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. You'll find a link to all the codes at Geek News Central. And there's a second column of the website. You'll see GoDaddy promo code. Just click on that and you'll get in there. Okay. Along with that, boy, oh boy, GoToMeeting was smoking today. I was in one meeting, out the next. Obviously, we've had a lot of business being revved up, people wanting to chat after the team at NAB was able to really secure. I think the guy secured 150-some business cards. And, of course, some of them are better than others. But in conference today, talking with a lot of folks on how really they can get their properties on these set-top boxes. And I'm really excited about what we got cooking there. Really, there's an old way to meet for business. You can do over the phone and or in person. But a new, better way is to meet colleagues and clients online with GoToMeeting. Like GoToMeeting is really, it's just like meeting in person, but you don't have to actually be there. It's less time-consuming. It's less expensive. And you meet with just a click of the mouse. Everyone can see your computer page. Everyone knows I use GoToMeeting on a almost daily basis. I don't think there hasn't been a day that's went by in the last 6 months that I haven't loaded this up for one reason or another. But you can collaborate on documents and so forth. Matter of fact, we're doing a lot of that prior to NAB. And with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, you can host as many meetings as you want for one low flat rate. You know, I've used GoToMeeting. You know, it's great. And you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month. Again, a month of unlimited online meetings free. And you can get that at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Again, for that free 30-day demo. And check it out. And I think you'll agree with me. It's a great way to do online. The thing is, the product just works. Unlike some of the other applications, it works. It really, really does. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the record content tonight here, and I'm kind of weirded out recording on this backup system, but hopefully we're going to find out how good this device is for recording audio. When I get done, it's going to be fun editing whatever I need to edit to get that right tonight. But let me go ahead and bounce up here and open up Chrome, and we'll go down here to the right tab. All right, imagine this. This is pretty shocking. It really, really is. Imagine you are at the playground with your kids, and you're just sitting there having a good time, and all of a sudden a laptop out of nowhere misses your kid by inches. Now you're in a park, and a laptop almost beans your kid. Can you imagine? I can't even start to comprehend what I would do. Well, a helicopter out of St. Cloud, Minnesota, who was doing a medevac, one of these emergency ambulance type of helicopters, took off from a local hospital and had forgotten to take the laptop off of the, some sort of a pad. And there's been lots of apologies going around, but the kid's got a pretty cool picture of this mangled laptop, but if it had hit the kid, it could have ended very badly. But landed within inches of almost smacking him. So the FAA is investigating. And in the official word of the it's things falling off aircraft, TFOA. The FAA takes that very seriously, and I'm sure someone somewhere is going to get a major penalty over this. Now, I know there's some of you that are diehard Palm users, and at some point we're going to have to start singing the funeral dance for Palm, because let me take this overlay down. They've announced, or at least Radio Shack has announced, that they're phasing out Palm Pre and Pixie sales. So it ain't going to be too long, and what we're going to see is no more Palm devices, at least in that outlet. So what do you guys think? Does that make you, those of you that are Palm users, that concern you at all, or is this probably not too much of a surprise? Of course, a lot of rumors on the street right now about Palm being possibly purchased by another company. And but we'll see what happens with this. But they're going to be doing replacing the Palm Pre with some other devices in Radio Shacks. And I don't know if that's where people normally go to get phones, but if it's a sign of the times, it could be another strike on the really a big strike for the folks at Palm. One of the most interesting products or things I found today when I was looking for news was an article, or actually a link to a company called HingeDocs. And this is kind of interesting. This is basically allows you to take a MacBook, Mac Pro, 15, 17 inch, or 13 inch, and make it it's a docking station. And what's unique about it is the laptop stands straight up in the air. And to me, it scares me a little bit, because I can't imagine having a 17-inch Mac in one of these holders with kids around. I guess it's okay if you live in a house where there's lots of, where there's not too much horsing around and kids aren't throwing anything. But I would, I'd be afraid this thing would get smacked and then flip over. But it's truly a pretty comprehensive docking station and solution for Apple's line of notebook computers. Don't know what the price on this runs. I'm looking here. Now, let me see if I get it's available via pre-order. Let me click the pre-order button and actually see what it says on there. But if you're looking for a docking station for your Mac, what does it say here? Does it say how much it's going to cost? About $100 is what it looks like, is what the price range is going to be. $59. $59 for a 13-inch. They don't actually say how much it is for the 17, but all of your ports get enabled. Basically, it jacks it into, and all the ports on the side of the Mac actually get hooked up with this. So Pretty cool stuff. But anyway, find this over at Henge, H-E-N-G-E, hengedocs.com for those of you that are Mac users. It looks pretty comprehensive, and you can select only the connections you need within the doc itself, which is pretty nice as well. But I have this linked up for you in the show notes. Now, this next one is a weird one, and I found it over at tgdaily.com. You know, we've all read, I don't know, any of you guys read sci-fi books where they talk about, you know, having some sort of, you know, basically they insert something via catheter and it actually goes in your brain and attaches to, you know, various lobes. Well, scientists have developed a brain implant that melts into place. It fits to the surface of the brain like shrink wrap. And I'm going to show you guys on Ustream the picture of this thing. All it really, it does kind of look like, you know, what I would expect to be like on circuit boards or something. But I don't know if I want this stuck in my head. The ultra-thin, flexible implants made partly from silk can record brain activity more accurately than thicker implants embedded with similar electronics, say the researchers. So this is like, I'm looking at this thing, and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 7 different probe areas. The implants contain metal electrodes that are 500 microns thick. The absence of sharp electrodes and rigid surfaces should improve safety with less damage to brain tissue here. And they're saying that they may be able to, at some point, deliver them to the brain through a catheter. Well, that to me is just pretty remarkable. So anyone in the audience have any, you know anyone that's gotten fitted with any type of brain monitoring implants? You know, I'd love to talk to somebody that knows a little more about this, but, you know, obviously this is for medical use, but at what point do they wire us up for something else? That's the question. All right, the folks over at Engadget have a pretty good review of the Logitech Squeezebox Touch. This has been in the pipeline for quite a while. It comes in at $299. It's a 4.3-inch capacitive touchscreen, and basically allows you to, and it's real thin, fits right on, you know, it's about this big by an inch and a half wide at the back. It's got a nice little base, and it looks like it will hook up via a Ethernet connection. I don't know if it has Wi-Fi or not, but great way to consume a variety of different content on that. It's got some of the same exact channels that the full-size squeeze box has. But anyway, good review on this by the folks over at Engadget. Now, if you're asleep underneath a rock today, you missed it because over the last couple of days, because Engadget started earlier in the weekend claiming that they had a fourth-generation iPhone. And if you've been over Tech Meme, it's just all over the place. There's all kinds of articles. Actually, we've had an article written at Geek News Central about it as well. But the story goes that some Apple employee was in a bar having a few cocktails, and he left a phone on his chair. The person sitting, according to the story goes, sitting beside him, picked up the phone and instead of turning it into the bar, like, you know, most people would do if someone found something and someone had lost, he claims that he tried to contact the guy. Somewhere in this process, the guy that lost the phone realized that he had, and through MobileMe, bricked the phone so that the phone would be disabled. But it was a fourth generation iPhone. And disguised in some sort of like a protective case so that people couldn't really tell that it was actually not a 3G or 3GS. So apparently apparently there's been a bounty paid on this by Gizmodo to in the amount of about $5,000. Engadget had, you know, what's weird about this story is Engadget was claiming they had something. And then Gizmodo came on the scene claiming they had something. So what's suspicious about this is that they both were like claiming to have information on this new fourth generation iPhone and had pictures. And I don't fully understand how this all went down. You know, why, how Engadget actually, maybe they were made an offer on the phone and Gizmodo won in the bidding war. But if I said earlier in the article, it was actually Gizmodo that broke this and have a video, and things bricked. They can't really tell a lot. But one thing is cool, it's got a forward-facing camera as well as an aft-facing camera with a flash. It's a little heavier. And so they really can't tell much more difference about it. And no really true knowledge yet whether or not it's 4G or not. No one has been able to determine that, or at least that hasn't been hyped. And but anyway, this poor guy that lost this, they knew who he is. He's been outed and talked about on websites and so forth. But there's quite a storyline that goes along with this. If you haven't read this already, I'll have a link to four or five different articles. You can get all the sauciness of this. But Jeffrey had written an article on the website talking about this whole evolution of this thing. And I think Jeffrey's onto something. He's the article he entitled says, "I hate rumors, yet I hate thieves even more." So the question is on this, if they knew this phone had been lost and they just picked it up, you know, finders keepers doesn't apply. Usually people have finders keepers and they find something and, you know, they don't normally talk about it. You know, so you find $20 on the floor and, you know, you wave the $20 around saying, "Is this yours?" And no one says anything. And, you know, you either be nice and turn it into the bar or you pocket the $20. Or if you're out in the street and you find money. My kids seem to always find money. Must be they're always looking down. Kids always find money. I don't know what it is. But really, if Gizmodo actually paid, and the rumor right now is they paid $5,000 to get this phone, if they actually paid for it, are they liable for having stolen property or found property? It's really not stolen property, but apparently Apple is claiming this is stolen. So, you know, the hardcore Apple, you know how they are in security. This poor dude, I'm surprised he still has a job. And maybe they're, you know, maybe he won't here in a few weeks. But Gizmodo claims that they're going to give the phone back to Apple, but apparently they've tore the thing down. Even though they haven't published pictures of its guts yet, they claim to have torn it down and have irreversible proof that it is a new version of the iPhone. So we'll see. But anyway, I'll have the links up in the show notes. You can check these out. What do you guys think? You think Gizmodo's in the wrong? Do you think that they can be held liable? Do you think that morally they were right to buy this from the individual? I have questions for the individual that found it. You know, how come you didn't turn it into the bar? You know, it's, you know, there's a lot of questions there. And there's a supposed story, you know. So I don't know where I fall on this. But if I find stuff, I turn it in. If I lost something, I want someone else to turn my stuff in too. You know. But they have policies. Most cities have policies. You turn something, you know, you find $1 million on the side of the road. You turn it into the police. No one claims it in 90 days or whatever. It's yours. You know, I wouldn't want to be the one that, if I find $1 million on the side of the road, I'm leaving it on the side of the road. With all the craziness going off in the world today, you never know. You pick that thing up, someone's watching you. You know, next thing you know, your entire family's dead. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? On this whole policy? And there's a lot of people talking about it. So, love to hear you guys' feedback. 619-342-7365 is the voicemail number. 619-342-7365. As well on GNC, there's a good article by Andrew talking about 10 computer scams to avoid. This one got a lot of traffic. Probably our most trafficked article of the month so far. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes for you to check out. And most of this is very straightforward. I think all of you will agree that it's not too difficult to stay away from these scams, but just in case. All right, many are asking why the 13-inch MacBook didn't get an upgrade. Well, it appears that the reason they didn't get a Core i5 was because there was not enough room in the machine. Breakdowns of the new devices show that the chips themselves take up just a huge amount of room. And on a 13-inch MacBook Pro, it didn't get the upgrade because there's just simply not enough room on the motherboard to fit in the 13-inch case. So either they're going to have to go thicker with that machine or, you know, I don't know what they're going to do on their upgrade on that. But if you look at the pictures, let me actually bring this up so you guys can see this here. This is a pretty cool picture of a breakdown of a... I always wonder what... Look, I just don't have the guts to go ahead and tear a MacBook apart. But, you know, here's the breakdown images of the device. You can see where the hard drive goes, or actually where the CD goes, and then where a hard drive pops in. So it actually gives you a little bit of a look there of what the guts look like. But, yeah, not enough room. And an article courtesy here of Ars Technica. So have the link up in the show notes for you guys to check out. Oh, actually, I didn't bring it up in the screen, did I? While I'm switching to the other article, I'll leave that up for you guys to look at. Those of you that have kids going to school that are using iPads, apparently universities are banning iPads left and right now because of a bug in the iPad itself. And what's going on is when you connect to a network, it gives you an IP. And the IP is only good for a certain amount of time, whatever the network administrator has set really the timeout period to be before it has to be refreshed. Well, when the iPads are connected to networks, when that time expires, when that device is supposed to go out and refresh and get a new IP, they're not. They're not doing what they're supposed to. They're not following the technical standards that are set forth. So what's going on? University of Princeton and Princeton University and George Washington University have closed the Wi-Fi networks to iPads, not only because of really overload, but also because of these IP renewal issues. So 22 of the 41 iPads have DHCP client malfunctions, which cause interference of other devices. So basically IP conflicts. So pretty serious stuff. We'll see if Apple gets that fixed in the next update. I'll talk a little bit about broadband here. You guys remember last year there was a cable that was cut, and I believe it was India or somewhere in the – maybe it wasn't even in India. Maybe it was the Middle East actually that had internet traffic issues. But apparently the the CMEWE 4 cable that connects Europe to the Middle East has been cut. And this cable carried 89% of the total lit capacity between the UAE and Europe. So there is a big, huge outage right now. And I guess they're rushing to get it fixed. But much of the internet connectivity to some countries in the Middle East is down. Simply because this cable is out, and they got a they don't show where it's actually damaged at, but they've got a link up here. This actually connects to, I'm looking here where it actually goes. It actually connects to, looks like somewhere in Spain, just north of Barcelona. So yeah, that's where this cable comes in, and it ties back to. Yeah, it goes all the way down. Looks like even Tel Aviv, Cairo may be affected as well. So Well, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about this in the coming days, but to definitely have some issues there with the fiber being down right now. All right, Akamai has released. Oh boy, this is a good read, and I'm using the summary. I actually went over to the Akamai site and read a large portion of the article here. But Akamai released basically the State of the Internet report for 2009 and found some real good stuff here. What they have determined is that cities with colleges are really just the fastest in the nation. They did some measure. Berkeley, California, 18,730 kilobits per second was their benchmark speed. Followed by Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Stanford, Durham, North Carolina, Ithaca, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Of course, you've got U of M there. College Station, Texas. What is that? That's the Longhorns. Someone from Texas is going to tell me. Urbana, Illinois, Cambridge, Mass, and University Park, Pennsylvania. From anywhere from 18 kilobits per second, 18,730 kilobits per second, down to 11,066. Now, the cities within the United States ranked 1 through 10. New York was number 1 at 5139, number 2 San Diego, 3rd Oakland, 4th Vegas, 5th Baltimore, 6th Pittsburgh, 7th San Jose, 8th Rochester, 9th Austin, and 10th Rodents, Rhode Island were the 10th fastest cities in the United States. Now, they did some more breakdown, and they actually looked at quality of change. Delaware is the most improved from last year. 72% of their users have connectivity above 5 megs per second. This is a 17% increase year over year. So a huge increase. And what's crazy here is you've got District of Columbia, Connecticut, New York, Vermont, and New Hampshire who have all actually had negative. They've gotten slower throughout the year, which is pretty nuts in itself. Now, not surprising, the top 10 areas that had the highest broadband connectivity speeds were areas in which Verizon Fios was heavily in play. So, again, Delaware, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Vermont, New York, Nevada, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and District of Columbia were all areas that were Verizon territories. So what they found, and what should not come as a surprise, is that internet providers in those areas where Verizon Fios is, they've had to up their game to keep customers. So wherever fiber's been rolled out, the competitors have invested infrastructure to increase overall speed. Now, some more information they came out with that they're finding that obviously more mobile usage is happening, and during the last 3 months of 2009, nearly 4.7% more unique IPs were connecting to Akamai's network. At the end of 2009, there were about 465 million IP addresses from 234 countries versus 401 million at the end of 2008 and 312 million at the end of 2007. It goes on to say the U.S. and China account for nearly 40% of the total 465 million unique IP addresses. So globally, on the number of IPs, United States is number one with 124.9 million, China at 52.1 million, Japan at 32.2, falling down through Germany, France, UK, South Korea, Canada, Spain, and Brazil, coming in at 10.7 million. So that's huge. Now, going into the mobile providers worldwide, they found that over 109 mobile providers were connected into Akamai from time to time, and more than 40 of them have an average measured connection speed of over 1 meg per second in the fourth quarter, while 11 had broadband level connectivity, which Akamai defines as speeds of 2 megs or greater. Believe it or not, the fastest mobile provider, 3.2, here. Austria currently is the home to the fastest mobile broadband provider at 3.2 meg, while the Russian Federation is fractionally lowered, followed by Italy and Poland. So it just goes on and on and on. All this good stuff. And they look at DOCSIS 3.0 versus 2.0. One thing that was found in Korea was their net speed average plunged 24%, and primarily because of the iPhone. So looking at average speeds, South Korea got slower because so many people have are using iPhones and they're on networks that aren't capable of going very fast. So that resulted in overall ranking of Korea going down 24%, while their wired connectivity still seems to be pretty impressive. But this data is just like a treasure trove for those of you that love this type of statistical data, which I do. So I'll have the link up to the articles over on GigaOhm for you to take a look at. And then the Akamai articles are linked from there. You can go directly as well. Okay, New York Times is reporting cyber attack on Google was said to have hit their password system. You know, Google really announced in January that through their China offices, through a machine, actually through a single computer that got hacked via a instant message to Windows Messenger, of all things, basically gave these hackers over a three-day period the keys to a program called codenamed Gaia. Gaia, for the Greek goddess of the earth, was attacked in a lightning raid. Again, taking less than 2 days last December, they were able to score and download the entire Gaia source code, even though no passwords were, of course, according to Google, no passwords were compromised. They now have access to basically the login system that you have when you go over to Google. Now, Google quickly increased security and did some changes, but this is pretty scary. These guys have a source code to that, so what they're going to be able to do now is dig through it and look for any other additional weaknesses of their systems. I want to talk just a little bit about This Week in Tech. Aaliyah Laporte, of course, over there, he's building a huge empire. I love what Leo's doing over there. But I guess he's a little bit of a powwow right now with, Jason Calacanis. And Leo, according to sources that email me, had on his This Week in Tech show on Sunday, went off mic to talk about this this controversy, and I don't know if it's going to end up in a lawsuit or what's going to happen, but Jason has registered a domain called thisweekin.com, and he's launching a number of channels that will be like This Week in Network, This Week in iPad, This Week in Goofball, This Week in Rollerblades. You get the idea. And Jason's come out publicly said that Leo can have first shot at any topics. Well, I think I would, if I was Leo, I would send over a list about, and I'm holding my arms as far as they can stretch, and I would have them listed on 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, one after another. But Jason says he's invested over $100,000 in thisweekin.com, and his intent is to launch 30 shows in the space of 3 years. He thinks there's 500 possible channels, and they're going to be doing independent TWI shows. Now, if I was Leo, This Week in Tech, that's his thing. You can be absolutely assured that if I tried to do something like This Week in Geek, I mean, the lawyers would come knocking immediately, or there'd be a phone call. Todd, what are you doing? Are you crazy? I'm going to ask you to stop. That's what he would say. And to me, personally, I think this is trademark infringement. Leo did make some on-air statements that he was not happy with the use of This Weekin format of shows. But apparently, according to Jason, Leo gave him blessing for starting This Weekin Startups and for doing my This Weekin Network. I guess Leo didn't understand. Oh, he says, I offered Leo the domain thisweekin.com before I bought it. He said, I would never use this domain name without his blessing. This situation, exactly why I cleared it with him in advance. I don't know. What do you guys think? It's a great name this weekend. My hat's off to him. But, boy, I don't know. If I was Leo, I would have never allowed it. If you'd asked me, I'm like, yeah, I want that domain. No, you can't do that. That's my brand. So I don't know how long ago they had that conversation, but what do you guys think? I think it's pretty bold, really, but we'll see how it falls out. As I talked about earlier, Network Solutions were hit by a mass hack attack. A Network Solutions security team is battling a mysterious attack that has silently infected a huge number of websites. The mass compromise affects sites running WordPress, Joomla, and plain vanilla HTML sites. According to reports from Secure Security and Stop Malvertising, many affected seats include encoded JavaScript that secretly attempts to install malware on visitors' computers. And so this is a big one. They don't tell how many thousands are hacked or what the actual number is. But if you've got a Network Solutions a hosting account, I would pay very close attention to it. You know, don't you guys always wonder if you're on eBay and you're bidding on something, if the person that listed it is bidding against you? Well, apparently, Paul Barrett, a minibus hire firm, I guess this is in the UK, boss from Stanley Count and Durham, this is actually in the UK, has been convicted of bidding against terms he was selling on eBay. He's bidding against items he was selling on eBay in order to drive up the final price. He was found guilty of 10 offenses under consumer protection laws, were basically made illegal to do this. He says he didn't know it was illegal to bid up his own stuff. You know, I think that this type of conviction is good because, you know, you never know. You know, I know in the early days of eBay, I know people bid up stuff. I knew they did. So good on him. And we'll see what kind of a fine this guy gets. Each offense could earn Barrett a fine of £5,000, and he will be sentenced later. All right, this next item, I believe I saw this at CES. It's called the Kylo. And let me actually copy this and put it in the other browser so you guys on Ustream can see this. You know, a lot of people are trying to watch, use their computers on their television sets. And really, it's kind of a hassle to, you know, use, you know, just like a mouse or your onboard mouse. But this device, the Kylo, $99, it's a web browser. It's the web browser for television. And it runs on both Windows and Mac. It comes with a remote control. And this thing is cool. This is the way I'm going to get one of these for sure. It has an easy zooming control on a homepage with a scrollable display of big tiles that link to 128 popular web video sites. And you can program a bunch of stuff you want in there as well. And it's used for those of you who want to connect your computers to your TVs, whether it be a Mac Mini or, you know, one of these small laptops or something. And you can watch videos from all over the web, surf on Firefox, Safari, and Explorer. And it's missing a few features, according to the article here. But this is cool. This is a way to use your PC on your big screen. So I'll have this linked up to you in the show notes. You can check it out. All right, next article up is from Ars Technica talking about the Zune HD being hacked. I don't know if we talked about this in the last show or not, but apparently the Zune HD has been jailbroke, and there is a new platform called the OpenZDK. It's a basically you can use OpenZDK to now develop open apps on the Zune. So it says enter the OpenZDK through exploiting flaw in the Zune firmware. It's possible to run native applications on the Zune. And it says this exposes the full power of Zune's hardware developers. Most importantly, programs can use the widespread OpenGL ES2.0 API, whatever that is. So anyway, pretty cool that you're going to be able to use Basic developed to the Zune HD. Hey, one thing. The voting is continuing on the iPhone app contest. I've gotten a huge number of responses already on that. On Friday's show, I will announce the winner, but I'll have a link like I did in the last show notes that link to the images of the actual apps that have been submitted. You basically respond by saying, I like app number 1, 2, or 3, and then we'll pick from your guys' votes on Friday the winner. Great responses from folks so far, and I'm going to save reading their comments until we actually get down to the end. A little bit of concern on NASA side. There's this satellite out there called, I think it's called the Kepler. Is it Kepler? Where NASA is collecting a huge amount of data, and and not releasing a lot of it. So they've come under, basically the scientific community has kind of been upset at NASA for not releasing this information. And what NASA has finally decided to do over a amount of time is that now they're going to consider releasing data on everything, but only 400, with the exception of 400 objects of interest that the Kepler team has flagged for follow-up. And this initial release is going to come in June. And the Kepler team would be able to continue evaluating these objects until February of next year. So I guess that still doesn't make the astronomy community very happy. But they think that the astronomy community says, hey, why are you hiding this stuff? You know, why are you holding out on us? So it does make you wonder with NASA usually releasing this stuff to the scientific community. A little update on our school webcam imager. We talked a little bit about it in the last show, but apparently there were thousands of pictures taken, allegedly, in the school webcam case. The court has issued an order barring any of the 400 photographs from just one person from being made available to anyone but the lawyers. One of the images purportedly was an image of a kid in bed sleeping. I'd lose my mind. They'd have to lock that guy up somewhere. But anyway, this gets more ugly by the day. All right, Microsoft has debuted its Fix-It program. Fix-It's kind of been around for a while, but this is the first time you actually can go and add the diagnostic system to Windows 7 or older operating systems. If you have XP, you have to have Service Pack 3 loaded for the software to be installed, but basically it helps you fix bugs within within Windows software. If you are an Amazon user, which probably the majority of us are, and you live in North Carolina, did you know the tax collectors are trying to collect data on what you bought at Amazon? They are going to battle with Amazon, asking for exact details of what you have purchased. I guess those of you that live in North Carolina, you're supposed to pay sales tax back to the state on purchases that you've made online like this. So, wow, North Carolina is, because Amazon has no offices or warehouses, North Carolina is not required to collect the customary 5.75% sales tax on shipments, although tax collectors reminded residents that's what's known as a use tax applies on anything purchased or received through the mail. So you're just supposed to send them some cash, and you know no one does. So Amazon is going to court. To saying that the lawsuit violates the privacy of the First Amendment rights of Amazon customers. And North Carolina Department of Revenue has ordered the online retailer to provide full details on 50 million purchases, and they're going to fight it tooth and nail. Wow, scary stuff. So can you imagine a state getting a list of everything you bought? Books, albums, CDs? There are laws against them being able to do that, so we'll see what happens. All right, all these folks stranded by this volcanic ash, man, it's nasty, and you don't know when it's going to get any better. I heard some flights may be going tomorrow, but apparently a couple were scheduled to get married and weren't able to get where they were going to be married, and the hotel that was holding them up while they were waiting to get a flight out to set it up, they were able to get married, and they did their marriage vows over a webcam. And I guess they were in Dubai, of all places, to get stuck. But anyway, these newlyweds got married via webcam, had a big party, the reception and everything. So You just wonder how many 9 months from now, how many new babies we're going to have on the ground too from this this exceptionally long layover. All right, Facebook's like button may be soon everywhere, and I haven't seen this yet, but imagine every website in the world having this like button that you can press, and it links back to Facebook. I don't know what I think about this. It's, you know, it's like a dig button. And Facebook is really, they are really working hard. The next part of Facebook's like expansion, according to various reports, will be bringing the like button to the rest of the web. The as-of-yet unconfirmed plans could allow third-party news and blog sites to place the Facebook like buttons on their own story pages. Would you guys do that? Would you put that like button on your website like you do dig button or something else now? I'm sure many of you will. Basically getting linked back so that people put it on their Facebook pages. Would you guys put those on there? Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com. Time is talking about top 10 NASA flubs. Wow. This is a pretty good article by Time. And I have this linked up in the show notes here. But these are the listing of the top 10 NASA flubs. I think I'll skip that one. Hey, you guys remember that guy in San Francisco that held out and had the passwords that he went and released to the city? Terry Chide's battle to avoid being convicted is just about ready to go to the jury. So I guess they're ready to go into deliberations and see what this guy's going to get, if he's going to be convicted and whether or not he's going to have to spend more time in jail. He's been in jail for a while and had a $5 million bond held against him and everything. So anyway, that trial's wrapping up. The jury's going to get it, and we'll see what the verdict is here on the next show. All right. Computer science students, pay attention here. If you're thinking about going to school, or you got kids that are going to go to school, the number one demographic of college students being caught cheating are entry-level first-year computer science students. Wow. So, they're finding them through tools, automated tools, detecting plagiarism. They're looking for code samples. So be aware. If you got a kid going to school and doing computer science, give them a warning. All right, this next one, you guys are just going to have to kind of see it to believe it. And I looked at the date on this, making sure it wasn't April Fool's Day. Let me load this up here for you guys. You guys may not or may know that when I was growing up, I grew up in the country. We didn't have cows per se, but we did have animals, but not cows that we had to milk or that we raised. But I guess there's a farm in Northern Ireland where the guy has created what's called the livestock power mill. And what this is just imagine a treadmill for a cow, and you get the cow up in the treadmill. And you put some feed in the hopper for him, and as the treadmill moves, the cow walks on it, and this is tied to a generator, which, according to reports, will, if the cows are forced to walk on the treadmill for 8 hours a day, they will create 2 kilowatts of power per day. The farmer's saying, hey, this is not cruel. This is not unusual punishment, because cattle normally walk around for 8 hours a day. You know what cows do? They walk, they stop, they bow their head down, they chew on grass, then they lift their head up, they move ahead a step or two, they put their head back down, they chew on some grass. They don't walk continuously for 8 hours. You know, that's like I said, I had to look at this to make sure this wasn't April Fool's joke. But cows on treadmill could produce 6% of the world's power if we had all our cattle doing workouts 8 hours a day. I wonder if the cows are going to get a union. Okay. Oh, you know, You know the animal rights folks are just going to go lose their mind. We're eating these cows, and now we're going to make them exercise 8 hours a day to generate our power. Well, maybe that will offset some of the flatulence. That's where they'll get some carbon credits for each cow. Hey, listen, cow. You don't get on the treadmill for 8 hours a day. That methane that you're expelling, when your carbon credit gets too high, you're going to the slaughterhouse. Oh, my gosh. It's just too crazy. Oh, man. They have a little meter. Gas expelled, gas offset, energy created. This is a productive animal, you know. Okay. Well, anyway, this volcanic ash supposedly heading towards North America. Could be as early as Friday. We could have some troubles on the East Coast. We will see. We'll see what happens there. I feel sorry for all these people that are lost. But you know what? With the travel industry, especially the cruise lines having so much trouble, don't you think it's a great time to like pull like five Caribbean cruise ships up to the docks in New York and say, hey, anybody need a ride to the UK? But the airlines are pushing to reopen European airspace. This is not funny at all. But you can almost be guaranteed with this volcano going off that we're going to see travel to Europe down this year. I just can't imagine it not being – people are not going to want to get stuck. Excuse me. Last two articles here. Actually, I'm going to skip this one here. This is kind of dumb. Talks about group buying of coupons. Imagine you get your car towed, and you're a college student. You're not real happy about it. You got towed because you know, it's questionable whether it should have been towed. And the individual starts a Facebook fan page for the towing company. And that fan page has grown to 10,000 members in the Kalamazoo area, Kalamazoo, Michigan. And the company felt that they were getting slandered, so they sued the kid for a college kid for $750,000. In an attempt to quash the negative comments on the group's page. So, yeah, here we go. Streisand effect is in action here with this company. They just don't know when to just leave it alone. So I don't know if anything is – I don't know if the lawsuit's still in play or not. But, wow, some companies just won't – you know, towing companies, they never make a mistake, right? They never do. They never make a mistake on towing. All right, we're doing good on time here. Looking at my alternate timer, I've got a couple of voicemails to go into. Then we'll get into the actual emails for the show. So here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. I was listening to your latest podcast where you were talking about the sleeve that Sprint offers for that will hold an iPad plus a MiFi device. What I'm waiting for, and supposed to come out later this summer, is the Sprint HTC Evo telephone to replace my current telephone with. It runs on Android, I think it's 2.1. Maybe wrong about the point number, but I think it's 2.1. It also functions as its own hotspot. It's 3G, 4G. Pretty amazing specs. I'm happy with the HTC Touch that I have. From the hardware standpoint, it's been great. And so I think HTC seems to make pretty good devices. So if this Sprint Evo lives up to its specs, the specs they have on their website, it looks pretty darned amazing. It's supposed to be coming out sometime this summer. I'm hoping in a couple of months, maybe. So, anyhow, keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, thanks for the call, and thanks for the info on that. Just keep us advised on which way you go. And, yeah, I've been hearing good things about the HTC, too. So, yeah, just keep us advised and be safe out there. Okay, everyone, Trucker Tom, or we're a Trucker Tom podcast. And you can find him on the web, of course. All right, here we go. Next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Ben from Philly. I know I'm a little late on this conversation, but with the Verizon CEO saying what he said, of course he's clueless. I work, let's say I'm indirectly inside on Verizon, and they're not exactly gaining traction because the site that I work at, they were laying off a lot of people as of late. Even though they're trying to roll out Fios and everything else, which is going well for them in certain parts, but it's taking a long time, and they got to battle the cable companies that you were talking about that, you know, got ownership of a city and there's no competition. So I congratulate that for trying to compete with the people that, you know, are taking over cities. But, like, you know, I'm in Philly. Comcast basically run the city, and Verizon Fios is, you know, trying to roll out, but slowly but for surely. Hopefully I'll get it when they do come to my part of the neighborhood. But, yeah, love the show. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the comment. Don't worry. It's shows consumed all hours, day and night, and people run a couple shows behind from time to time. So thanks for your feedback on that. Definitely appreciate it. All right, let's get into the emails here. Let me go ahead and flip this back. First email is from Ian. He said, "Hey, Todd, I know you mentioned you weren't having any problems with Wi-Fi reception, but unfortunately it's all too common. I found out about a very easy-to-make parabolic reflector for Wi-Fi antennas called a windsurfer. All you need to make it is some stiff paper, such as a manila folder." He says, "I use Braille paper, a glue stick, some aluminum foil, and the windsurfer antenna pattern, JPEG attached. The following are some YouTube videos show how these are made. It took about 15 minutes to make a pair for our router, and we noticed a 10 to 20% increase in signal strength as measured by the receiving devices. So how to make a Wi-Fi extender." So I have this linked up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Thanks for that, Ian. I appreciate it. Got an email. Actually, I got can't read that one because that was a vote. I got an email here from Seal. I guess that's actually his last name. Probably Jay. Yeah. "Cable cut disrupts internet traffic in the Middle East, Europe." Yeah, we talked about that earlier in the show. Thanks for the email on that. Got a bunch of Roku giveaways. It's in here. Go down a little deeper. Got an email from Doug. He says, "Hey, Todd, I was just listening to your last podcast. I'm wondering how many days were missed by the person that had the bad things to say about you. In my mind, you're doing..." He didn't have bad things to say, Doug. He was just, you know, he was upset, and rightly so, that I didn't get started or didn't do the show on my normal schedule, which, you know, he was fully expecting it to be. He goes on to say, "In your mind, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work, and thank you for it. For your information, for every person talks bad, there are about 1,000 more that say thank you. On another note, if you're in the Michigan after May 15th, bring your family down here to Sandusky, Ohio. Enjoy Cedar Point. Opening day is May 15th. Check out the website at cedarpoint.com. Your kids will have a great time, Doug." Doug, Cedar Point is the place. Man, I love going to Cedar Point. Any of you that live in the Michigan, Indiana, Ohio area, or even Pennsylvania, you got to go check out Cedar Point. It is one of the best roller coaster parks in the country, in my personal opinion. About an hour and 15-minute drive from where I grew up. I'm going to be down in, obviously, in Dearborn on the 19th by myself. So I don't think I'll be coming down to Cedar Point, but look forward to the time when you have the family down there to be able to do that. I got an email from Bama Jeff talking about the guy that wrote about the show being late. Thanks for your comments, Bama. Bama, I don't read your whole list here because it's pretty long, but no worries. Got an email here from, this one's loading slow. I wonder if this has actually got a voicemail attached to it. Yeah, I think it does. Let me wait for it to load here. And the title of this subject, it says, "No need for apology." You know, I can understand people. People are passionate about this show, and, you know, they build me into their lives. You guys do. You guys expect the content at a certain time. I fully understand that. So I haven't previewed this. I'm going to play this with a little tenacity here, hoping that it doesn't bash the guy too bad. But let's because, you know, the author of this was, you know, I understood his concern. Let me go ahead and see what this says here. Is this going to play? It doesn't want to play. Is it going to play? Let's try. Here we go. Of course, it's in It's an M4A. Winamp doesn't like M4A. So let's, okay, cancel, stop, remove, select. All right, let's try copying it that way. See if it goes on the desktop. Where did it go? Oh, is this it? Open with QuickTime Player. Is it going to play? Are we going to have to wrap the show up? Gotta love it. Yeah, it doesn't look like it wants to play for some reason. That's weird. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into the rest of the email. If it decides it wants to play, I'll stop. Got a bunch of course, application, a bunch of votes. Won't get into those until later. And, hey, Todd, looking forward to tonight's show. He already sent that to me. Yeah, so there's just a pile of people applying for the Roku contest and also voting on the iPhone app. So really, that's it, folks. That's a wrap on the show. And be curious to see how the audio turns out, having it recorded on my not normal recording machine. I'll keep my fingers crossed on that. But if you've got comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. And hopefully we'll get the other machine fixed before the next show. Matter of fact, I'll work on that tonight, probably before I go to bed. But if you have comments, blast them over or call the voicemail hotline. That's really the best way to get things heard on the show. And, I apologize we weren't able to play this one voicemail, but it didn't want to cooperate. Or actually, it was just a pre-recorded audio file. And it wouldn't open in a QuickTime player or it wouldn't open in Winamp. So I don't know what the story is there. But for everyone, be good, be safe. And we'll see you on the flip side on Thursday night or, of course, for our Friday morning release. Everyone take care and aloha.